Xbox.
Well, it is Tuesday, and it's time for Book Picks. This week, we're joined by our friends from the Golden Notebook in on Tinker Street in Woodstock, New York, Jackie Callahan and James Conrad. Welcome back. So nice to have you both with us. I feel like I won the lottery. I get you both. Good morning. How are you?
Hi.
Is Jackie
there, too?
Yeah. We're there. All right. Well, nice to hear you both, and I'm glad you're both here and you're doing well. And so who would like to begin?
Well, I think we first wanted to just quickly mention that we have an exciting new venture happening with our store where we're opening a secondary sort of location in Bearsville at the Bearsville Complex.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's very exciting. We're teaming up with Nancy's Artisanal Creamery down there, and they do the whole Bearsville theater complex and recording studio there. They're in the middle of revamping it all, and we're doing sort of a soft opening all winter. We were supposed to do it last spring, but we're hoping that it'll all be up and going by this coming spring with events and all that down there that we'll be doing, and it'll be great.
And so that's wonderful. And this is up and running now, or will be when?
It is. It's up and running now, actually, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays from about 11 to 5. And we have mostly music books right there now. And for those who don't know, the Bearsville Theater Complex is historic. It has a 400-seat theater and various other buildings that have been restaurants, have been a radio station. It was WDST's headquarters for a while, and this old house, Peterson House, and that's where we're at. And we have this amazing space, and we'll be doing a lot of events there once we're post-COVID.
Excellent. Well, we all look forward to that time and place. Okay, where do we start?
I'm going to start with Jesse Walters' new novel, The Cold Millions. I say this about a lot of authors, but Jesse Walters is truly one of my favorite novelists around, period. I think you know him the best from The Beautiful Ruins, a classic of his from a few years ago.
Yeah.
And so when I dove into this latest, I had no idea where he was going to take me, which was to the turn of the century, 20th century Pacific Northwest labor battles. The story centers around two orphan brothers who literally ride the rails following work from Montana to Spokane, which happens at that time to be in the middle of labor riots between workers and employment agencies that are fleecing them, while the extreme rich robber barons are carrying on and pulling all the strings in the background. One brother is a diehard socialist and charismatic and attractive, and the other is still sort of finding his way as a bit of a wallflower in this chaotic world that they're in. And another interesting device he uses is there's an actual historic figure as one of the characters, Elizabeth Hurley Flynn, who's a famous socialist organizer who eventually became one of the founding members of the ACLU. And one of the best things about Walter's style is he sort of tells his stories inside out, where you sort of meet characters and situations sort of out of order and displaced in the narrative. And it can sort of confuse you initially, but eventually it sort of comes around to dazzle you in the end, where he ties them all together in a very human and complex sort of truth about these people's histories, which is kind of like how our own experiences sort of end up being. And the novel stretches all the way from this turn of the century time of the 20th century right to 1964, where a character is watching the freedom fighters on television. And this is sort of Walter's way of cueing us to see that there's still a continual struggle going on of class and social justice in our country. And you can't really help but to compare it to the summer of the Black Lives Matter protests and the police confrontations. And that's sort of what his point is, that our country is still fighting daily for equality and justice. So don't miss this great book.
All right. It is The Cold Millions. Next.
So there's so many incredible music books in November and December. I had a hard time picking. But the first one that I wanted to share with everybody is a book called Right Place, Right Time, The Life of a Rock and Roll Photographer, and it's by Bob Gruen. And so for more than 50 years, Bob Gruen has been kind of on the American music scene, taking pictures of probably most famously John Lennon. He was great friends with both John and Yoko, Ike and Tina Turner, Debbie Harry, the Sex Pistols. He was part of the CBGB scene. Real, like, photographer's photographer. And this book is his story and kind of the story behind a lot of the pictures. And so, for instance, one story that I was just reading that's just so much fun is it's 1970. He's about 24 years old. He's visiting the Felt Forum in Nassau County, seeing Ike and Tina Turner. And a couple days later, he goes to see them in a smaller venue. You know, he, of course, he's totally blown away by Tina. And he sees them at this little club in Queens called the Honkamonka Club. And he's sitting up front, and he's just entranced by Tina. And she's dancing, and it's dark, but there's a strobe light. And he raises his camera, and he just doesn't know exactly how to capture it, so he just leaves the exposure on for a couple seconds and lets the strobe light kind of articulate her motion. And he ends up selling those pictures to Ike the next day, to Ike and Tina, and they love them. And it's of course, a very, very famous picture, you know, because you could see how she moves every second. So this book is filled with stories like that and pictures, and we have a whole bunch of signed copies, so...
Excellent. All good stuff. Bob Gruen's book, Right Place, Right Time, The Life of a Rock and Roll Photographer. All right, next up.
Next up, another novel. So a year ago, this short story collection in hardcover called Lot arrived by Brian Washington. And I sort of watched in amazement as it just sold like crazy, actually, which short story collections can be a little tough to sell, but this one did great. And so I was very excited when I got my hands on his first novel, Memorial, and was not disappointed. Memorial centers around a gay couple in Houston, an African-American man, Ben, and his Japanese boyfriend, Mike. And when we meet them, things are not good. They're so not good that Mike announces his Japanese mother is arriving for an undetermined amount of time to stay with them, but that he, Mike, is in fact leaving the next day for Japan to take care of his dying and estranged father. This leaves Ben to cohabitate with this rather equally frustrated mother-in-law who has limited English. They aren't actually married. I'm just using the term. But the book eventually becomes about how these two gay men sort of separately take on dealing with their life's own absent fathers, and they navigate what their future should be as well as what their relationship should be with each other. And Washington writes in this very no-nonsense and unsentimental style, and it kind of magically achieves the opposite effect, meaning he kind of breaks your heart. And with themes of class, race, sexuality, immigration, and generational differences are all colliding in this small Houston one-bedroom apartment, you can't help but admire Washington's talent, which strips the story down to these two young men trying to decide whether they should continue to cling on to each other or to let go. And this is Memorial by Brian Washington.
Memorial by Brian Washington. Okay, next up.
All right, next book I have is called She Come By It Natural, Dolly Parton and the Women Who Lived Her Songs. And this is by Sarah Smarsh, who is pretty well known for a book that she wrote a few years ago called Heartland. And yep. She was a National Book Award finalist for that. And so, but in this book, what Smarsh is doing is she is kind of shining a light on Dolly Parton and talking about her struggles and her path to be the queen of country music. And she walks through, you know, the basics of Dolly Parton's life, born in 1946, fourth of 12 siblings, born into extreme poverty, suffered through her parents' divorce, left her home when she was 18 years old with three paper grocery bags of her belongings, and over the course of 3 years started, you know, on her way to becoming a singer. And she struggled with being marginalized, underestimated by the people that she's worked with. In the narrative, Smarsh kind of illustrates Parton's life using many of the stories from Smarsh's own family life. She grew up in rural Kansas, and also some of the stories that she focused on in Heartland. And the thing about Dolly Parton is that, of course, what she did so amazingly is she owned her sexuality. She created her own world, right? Of Dollywood theme park, her own publishing company. She owns the rights to all her songs. And she also founded the Imagination Library, which, like, is the biggest donator of books all over the world. Smarsh has really beautiful prose. It's a very tender, very astute portrait of Dolly Parton. I just highly recommend it. It's amazing to spend time with Dolly.
It really is. It's an incredible book. She Come By It Natural, Dolly Parton and the Women Who Lived Her Sings. That doesn't sound right.
And the woman who lived her songs.
Lived her songs. I have a typo in the script. I'm sorry. Let me just check that. Okay, there you go. Sarah Smarsh is the author. Thank you, Jackie, for helping me out. She came by it natural. I'll just say that. It's by Sarah Smarsh. Oh, it's all starting to take a toll now. James, you're up.
It's okay, Joe. There's a lot of Dolly books coming out right now, though, actually. So, you know, it's a big subject matter. So, the next one I'm doing is not a Dolly book, but it's another novel, White Ivy by Susie Yang. I wanted to include a really great page-turner, and this is sort of the page-turniest book I read in a long time. It's her debut novel, and it's a dark romance with an emphasis on dark. Stripped down, it's a classic story of a young girl from a poor upbringing trying to come of age in a more upper-class world. In this case, our heroine is a first-generation Chinese immigrant, which adds even more intrigue to her attempts to fit into a very WASP Boston social world that evolves around her childhood crush, who later becomes her post-college boyfriend. And I kept being reminded of a lot of classic novel setups with this book, but I really landed on Edith Wharton as a type of author of this, because just like Wharton, Yang doesn't really hold back on the extremes between the attitudes between rich and poor, the very subtle, good-mannered put-downs the upper class can't help letting slip out. And this whole setup is even more challenging when you add in the racial differences. There's also this intense Edith Wharton sort of sense of impending doom, where a lot of things keep going wrong as the pages turn. But you still can't help rooting for our heroine, Lily, even though she keeps getting in her own way. I won't give any plot surprises away, but you really can't put this book down, so grab it and totally enjoy White Ivy.
White Ivy by Susie Yang. All right, next up.
Next book is another great, fun music book called 150 Glimpses of the Beatles by Craig Brown. And some listeners might recognize his name because he was the author of the very popular and fun 99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret. And so he kind of uses the same lens as he did in the Princess Margaret book, but with the Beatles. And he tells stories around, you know, many of them are well-known stories, but he writes them in a different ways, you know, from how the Beatles came together, you know, sort of that kind of unique event where of their fusion, as well as telling the stories of a lot of the other people around them, like Brian Epstein, Aunt Mimi, Yoko Ono, Phil Spector, Ed Sullivan. And, you know, he provides things like party lists, guest lists, you know, people who are on the covers of Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band. So really fun book. You could, you know, start at the end, finish at the beginning. Great gift book for the holidays.
All right. 150 Glimpses of the Beatles by Craig Brown. All right.
All right. We got one more here. It's a great mystery. It's Leah Conan's All the Broken People. And you like a mystery with a lot of good twists, and this one is brimming with them. And it's set in Woodstock, which is the big bonus. It's the story of a young woman who escapes to a cabin outside of Woodstock to hide from her abusive boyfriend, and she immediately befriends a very dynamic couple next door who are also from the city. And they share in her dark secrets, and they pull her into them, and that's sort of where things start getting crazy. And there's really nothing scary in a mystery, I think, than city people moving to a small Hudson Valley town. So Conan does a great job of taking advantage of this. She has locals and newcomers clashing and befriending each other and being suspicious of each other, and especially when the dead bodies start to turn up.
Edge of your seat thriller.
I know.
City,
I mean,
people are gubbing.
Everybody wants to read. Leah turned up at our book club to do the book with us a week ago, and she was just wonderful. And she told us that her next we made her an honorary local now because she's been up here for a while, and she's planning to stay, and she's setting her next mystery in the Hudson Valley, too. So keep your eye on a great mystery writer, Leah Conan.
Leah Conan is the author. All the Broken People is the name of the book. And, Jackie, I think you added one, right? You got one more?
Yeah, I do. So one of my favorite things to do with my kids, especially when they were young, is read them poems. And there's a really wonderful new collection of poetry by Naomi Shihab Nye. And she is the Young People's Poet Laureate of the United States. And she has a beautiful new collection called Everything Comes Next, which is actually, it's both her collected and her new poems. And I think that, you know, it's easy to sort of read one of her poems, but I think that for parents who are listening out there, please enjoy poetry with your little ones. This is a great book to grab and sit down and curl up with them and read.
Everything Comes Next. Well, for more information on the Golden Notebook in Woodstock and their other location and the great work that they do, all you have to do is go to their website. It's goldennotebook.com, goldennotebook.com, or for goodness sakes, go visit them right there in Woodstock and also the location, pop-up location in Bearsville. Jackie and James, thanks for the list. Thanks for all that you do. Thanks for all you do for the community and for books. And it's wonderful to have you aboard as always.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Be well. All of our book pick lists. Is that the way you say that? Yes. Book pick. All of our book picks. Tell me how much longer I have, Mike. All of our book picks and our lists are posted online at WAMC.org at WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable, and you can find all of our book picks and our book pick lists. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.